So as you probably noticed on the schedule for today, it's pretty simple. Alternating periods of sitting and walking, sitting and walking. And the beauty of this simple rhythm is that the walking can help refresh the energy. If we were just sitting constantly all day, the mind can get quite dull, the body can get quite stiff. So having these periods of formal walking meditation just helps to bring some relief to the body, to refresh the energy. And because it's practiced with the eyes open, it helps us to train in maintaining mindfulness in our daily activities too. And the other benefit of it is that it really helps maintain continuity of mindfulness. And this is really the secret to deepening our calm, our clarity, our concentration, the samadhi that I was just talking about. So often, especially when we start a retreat, we come in, we sit down to meditate, we're mindful, 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 the bell rings and poof, we're off, we wander away, we get a cup of tea, we wash our socks, whatever, and then come back, mindful, 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 mindful. But this kind of binary on-off mindfulness is actually very tiring for the system, and it takes a lot of energy, and it doesn't develop a stability or a depth that allows for clear seeing. So what we're encouraging instead is this relaxed continuity, moment to moment to moment. So one of my colleagues talks about sitting meditation, walking meditation, and in-betweening meditation. And usually we think of sitting as being the most important, and then walking, second most important. And then everything else is just like downtime. We space out. But instead of that hierarchy, see if you can at least maintain equal importance across sitting, walking, and in-betweening. Or if you really want to push it, reverse the hierarchy and make the in-betweening the most important. So from the moment that you start to get up to leave the hall, that's when your in-betweening meditation really starts. And then maintaining that in a relaxed, gentle way right through the day. And one of the paradoxes is that this continuity of effort actually takes less effort than sitting and forcing it and then blowing it off in between the sittings. So the walking meditation is a very powerful way of helping us maintain this continuity. Has anybody not done formal walking meditation practice before? Okay, so you know that it's usually, we usually recommend that you find a single track where you can walk up and down, because that again helps with the concentration, the stability. If we're just going for a walk, it's so easy to, oh, that looks pretty, I wonder when the waratahs are going to flower, or that's a nice plant, I'd like that in my garden, where shall I go next? Oh, maybe I'll just go and have a cup of tea. And the mind tends to wander. But this simplicity of being on one track, up and down, it really helps protect the concentration. The slower you go, the more you'll know. Just as if you're driving a car, if you're doing 90 and the scenery's whizzing by, you don't see so much. But if you come down to 40 in the car, you're much more aware of your surroundings. In the same way, the encouragement here is to experiment with slowing down. Again, in the service of this continuity of mindfulness, it's almost like being a child again, and we start to open up to the wonder of being able to walk, and the wonder of being in this really powerful, beautiful environment. So just to give some examples of that, Usually we just take a few moments to stand and know that we're standing, and to really bring the awareness to the contact of the ground and the feet, and get that felt sense of the whole body standing. And then in the beginning we might walk at a slightly slower pace than normal, and just knowing the contact of the feet with the ground, perhaps we can use mental noting right and left, and then standing, turning, 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 taking a moment to stand. And then over time you might find that you naturally start to move a little slower. And then the knowing or noting of lifting, moving, and placing. Lifting, moving, and placing. So we might naturally find that the walking slows down. Don't need to force it. If we find ourselves kind of wobbling, we're probably trying too hard. So just let the pace of the walking develop quite naturally. Sometimes if we're sluggish, it's actually good to sort of stride it out and help the energy to raise. So just play with the pace and the rhythm and the speed of the walking, letting the awareness primarily be in the contact of the ground with the feet. So we'll have time for walking for about half an hour. I'd also like to offer some posture instructions for anybody who might need some guidance on finding ways that we can sit with a little more comfort. But just to name that no matter what position we're in, at some point the body is going to feel discomfort. And the challenge here is to find this balanced relationship to discomfort. So some amount of discomfort is inevitable. It's not about pushing through pain. So you don't have to sit there with gritted teeth in agony. On the other hand, we're also not wanting to move the nanosecond we come into contact with any unpleasant experience. Because, as most of you know, the more we move, the more we want to move, and we end up creating a lot of restlessness and agitation. So the invitation is, when you notice some kind of discomfort, to see if you can stay with it for a moment or two, and just to know or name to yourself, okay, discomfort in the knee, unpleasant sensations, stabbing, burning. And then at some point, right, yep, it's time to move. And then you slowly, mindfully change position. This is very different than just, oh, my knee hurts, move. 30 seconds later, now it hurts again, move again, and so on. That, as I said, really creates more reactivity and restlessness. So for each of us, we're finding this balance between gently expanding our capacity to be with discomfort, not fighting it, but also not giving into it immediately either. So this is too is part of the art and skill of the practice. So just before I offer the posture guidance for anybody who might need it, a couple of reminders. There are still a few openings for bell ringers, very simple, easy job, and one that really helps support our community to practice together. So if you feel moved, it would be lovely if you could sign up for one of those. Each day we'll have three periods of instruction, this time every morning at 2 o'clock after lunch, and in the evening, the 7 o'clock Dharma talk. So if you could all please make sure you come to those. I'll put up the sign up, the sheets for the individual meetings later this morning, and there will be some slots for this afternoon if you feel like you would benefit from an individual meeting before the official ones start tomorrow. The purpose of these individual meetings is really to check in about your meditation practice. So as a starting point, what we usually suggest is to just describe your clearest meditation sitting, your clearest walking meditation, and what's happening in the in-betweenings. And by clear, it doesn't mean that you are experiencing 100% clarity through the whole sitting. It could well be that you are clear about your dullness, or clear about your sleepiness, or clear about your fogginess. So it's just to bring to the meeting a description of what you were aware of in the meditation session that was most clear to you. Does that make sense? And then the same with the walking, and then anything else that's happening in the in-betweenings. Any other announcements? Okay. So enjoy your morning of practice. We have time now for walking, or for those who'd like some posture guidance, you can stay for a few moments now and I'll offer what I can. Thank you.